Turning to the book of Luke and the chapter 7. Book of Luke and the chapter 7. We want to break into the chapter at verse 36. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went out into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. But when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. In this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 7, we discover a woman who was described simply as being a sinner. If you notice there in verse 37, it tells us there that there was a woman in this city which was a sinner. And as we read on down through the chapter, even Simon and those people that were around about in verse 39, the Pharisee, he saw what was going on and he said that this woman was a sinner. Maybe every day that we go through life, we look at people, and because of their appearance, because of maybe the class of society which they come from, maybe we look at their behavior, we look at their dress, we look at who they are and what they seem to be on the outward appearance, and we look at that person, and we are the very first to say, that person there must be a sinner. You know, tonight it would be a wrong thing for me to preach tonight and look down across this congregation and look into every corner of this church and say, I think he's a sinner, I think she's a sinner, I think that person there is a sinner, simply because of their appearance, simply because of your attitude or your appearance to me here in the pulpit tonight. That would be so wrong. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And maybe here tonight you're in church. Maybe here tonight you have a Bible. Maybe even the biggest Bible in the church tonight. And maybe here tonight you, on the outward, have the appearance of a Christian. Indeed, maybe it is the case that Coleraine is your home church, and all of your years you have grown up through in this church, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday school, children's meetings, all of the meetings in the church. And the people here tonight, as they look at you, they think and believe that you are a Christian. You know, here was a woman, and because of her reputation, because of her appearance, because of what those people knew of her, they concluded to themselves that she was a sinner. You know, young people tonight, and older people too, I wonder how you stand before God tonight. You know, you might be known within this congregation as being a sinner. The people in this church maybe pray for you every week without fail because they know that you're not saved. But maybe you're here tonight and you think that people think you're saved. And you're happy to let them think that you're saved. But deep down in your heart, you know that there has never been a work of grace wrought in your life. Deep down in your heart, you know that you have never got down before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and come into my heart. There has never been a change in your life. You know, I believe it to be a very dangerous thing in a lot of our churches where young people, having grown up through the ranks of the church, having grown up in the gospel, they said a little prayer years ago, and there has never been a significant change in their behavior. There has never been a significant change in their lifestyle. They have always been a Christian. And even whenever they said that little prayer, all those years ago, as they have grown up through their teenage years, into their 20s, and maybe even coming up to 30, they have lived a lifestyle. They have done things and said things, and they have been places and had attitudes and ideas that they feel within themselves is okay and is proper for a Christian to have. That would be a different story for someone maybe who got saved when they were in their 20s. Maybe someone, whenever they were in their 30s, they got saved. The Bible says whenever we get saved, old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Maybe you're here tonight and as far as you know, in your life, old things have never passed away. Because what you do now and the person that you are now is the same person that you were when you were 10 or 12 or maybe even 15. Here was a woman, and on the surface, to those people that looked at her, they believed that she was a sinner. You know, tonight I have to say the Bible teaches that we're all born in sin. It tells us that in Psalm 51 and the verse 5. You turn it up for yourself. Psalm 51 and the verse 5. The psalmist David, he made it very clear to us in the book of Psalms. And just a couple of references for you. Psalm 51 verse 5 tells us, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. If you notice there also, Psalm 58 and the verse 3, and it tells us there, The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know, it doesn't matter whether you believe yourself to be a Christian or not. It doesn't matter how righteous a person you believe yourself to be. The Bible says that we are all born in sin. You know, the problem today is that men and women don't want to acknowledge that they are sinners. That's a title that people, they don't want to give themselves that title. Nobody comes to me on the doorstep and says, Well, actually, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm unrighteous and I am unholy and I am unfit for heaven. They don't say that to me. They will always say, Well, I do this and I do that and I try my best and I go here and I go there. And in their own little mind, they try to justify to me why they believe within themselves they should have a place in God's heaven. You know, the Bible tells me that there will be no unrighteous person, there will be no sinful person, there will be no person with sin in their heart ever enter in through those pearly gates of glory. You know, the Bible tells me all through the Scriptures that we are sinners by nature. Yes, young people, we are sinners by nature. Older people too, we are sinners by nature. Isaiah 53 and 6, it tells us there that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know the people that I meet on the doorstep, and you probably meet them too. Maybe you're even one of these people, and you will say about all the good works that you do in life, you will say about the goodness within your heart and the goodness within your life. It's good by whose standard? Whose standard are you judging that by? It's by your own. And we are sinners. Our nature is corrupt. It's sinful. It's distorted. We are not able to judge ourselves. The Bible says there is not a just man, not one that doeth good and sinneth not upon the earth. That's us all. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You know the problem today? There are scores of people sitting in churches across this land and they're deceiving other members of the church and they're deceiving themselves to the fact that they're a Christian and that they will one day get into God's heaven. Unless you're saved tonight, unless the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning supreme in your life, unless He is Lord and Savior of all that you are and all that you have, you will never, ever, ever be in heaven. The only one that you're deceiving is yourself. Man, in all of his wisdom, does not believe any of those verses. Man today, by nature, he discounts all of those verses as absolute rubbish. Often the common argument is that man, to me, will deny the Bible. They will say, well, the Bible's not really true. The Bible is a book that men wrote hundreds of years ago, and, well, we can't really believe the Bible, can we? They discount it as being authoritatively God's Word. And if they can undermine and cast doubt upon God's Word, well then, that maybe gets them off the hook. Man in general doesn't want to admit that he's a sinner. Man doesn't want to take that sinner's place. And all across the land, there are people today, and they sit in judgment of women like that, and they stand back and they say, that person there is a sinner, but I'm okay. I'm righteous, I'm just, I'm a good person, I'm not a sinner, but that's a sinner. Maybe that's the way you are every Sunday night. The preacher comes and he preaches the sermon and you go out those doors and you shake hands with the preacher, you say hello to the men at the door and you go home and you say, you know, that was a great message tonight. That was a good message for so and so or such and such. Aye, it was a good job they were in. That was a good word for them. But yet the very one that ought to hear the word is yourself. Because you're not saved. You're so caught up in your own self-righteousness. You're almost convinced within your own mind that you're a Christian. Because you've lived such a good, clean life for so long. But yet you've never been saved. Never been saved. You've never got before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and come into my life. Let me ask you tonight, how do you stand before God? Do you sit in judgment of everybody else? Are you that person that will not admit that you're a sinner but has the knowledge that you need to be saved? Are you that person that won't admit to being a sinner and then you deny that God's word is the truth? You even try to deny that God exists? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John, we have read the verse already, that you are deceiving yourself and you're calling God a liar. The first thing I want to notice tonight about this portion is the sin that enslaved her. The sin that enslaved this woman. This woman was a great sinner. The Bible says her sins were many. Did you notice that in the reading in verse 47? The Bible says the Lord, Jesus Christ himself said in verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Yes, this woman was a great sinner. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself says that the sins of this woman were many. There was a great number of sins that this woman had committed. Now, we are not privy to the information as to which type or what type of sins this woman had committed. Some commentators would tell us that this woman may have been a woman of the street. She may have been a woman of a worldly nature. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, the Lord says, her sins are many. So in the eyes of men and women, she was a great sinner. She was enslaved by sin. Of course, judgment is often passed upon a woman of this nature. But of course, the sin is also guilty by the man as well. But this woman was enslaved by her sin. John 8:34, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You know, I wonder tonight if the Lord was able to comment tonight on the state of your life. I wonder what he said tonight as he looks at your life. He would say, "His sins are many." As he looks at your life tonight, would he say, "Her sins are many"? Maybe you said to me tonight, "But Mark, listen, I'm not a great sinner. I'm not a big sinner. I don't commit big sins. I don't do many wrong things." Listen, if you never committed one sin in your life ever, if you lived the most upright, holy, godly, God-fearing life, keeping all of the commandments, doing all of things good and proper and decently and in order, and never said a wrong word, never had a bad thought, never had a wrong look, the Bible says that we're born in sin anyway. And because of that original sin, we are lost in God's eternity, for all of God's eternity. So whether your sins have been many, or whether your sins have been few, you're a sinner. And sinners don't get into heaven. Sinners cannot get into heaven unless they come through Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So as you sit here every Sunday in righteous judgment, as you sit at home in your house in judgment of all of those great sinners all around you tonight, if you're a small sinner or a great sinner, if you're a sinner, the Bible says you can't get to heaven. You're enslaved by your sin. I don't know what it is. It maybe is a harmless sin. It's maybe just dishonesty. It's maybe hypocrisy. It's maybe jealousy, pride, covetousness, some other sin, I don't know. But listen, this woman, she knew within her heart that she was a sinner, and we'll discover that in a little while. She came and she sought the Lord. Tell me tonight, do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you acknowledge before God that you need Jesus as your Savior? Do you know, do you realize, are you convinced of your need of salvation? This woman hated her sin. And as she was there in the very company and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that she washed his feet with her tears. She washed his feet with her tears. That was a lot of crying. That was a lot of tears. And I wonder tonight, friend, have you ever shed tears over your sin? Has there ever been a time in your life whenever at a meeting, a gospel mission, an evening gospel service, you have put your hand up, you have stayed behind, and you have went and you have wept over your sin. You have had a regret over your sin. You know, sometimes I look in my own life, and probably looking back over my own life, there are times there where sin was committed, and there may not have been the regret for those sins that I ought to have had. We don't have that remorse. We don't have that sorrowful spirit that we should have over those sins. Well, we remember those sins. We remember the things that we did. We remember we shouldn't have done them. But, well, we have asked the Lord for forgiveness. And, of course, he has forgiven those sins. But we don't regret those sins. We don't have the remorse for those sins that we ought to have. Here was a woman, and she was crying so much in the presence of the Lord that she was able to wash his feet with her tears. Are you convinced and convicted about your sin? Do you hate sin tonight? Do you hate the sins that enslave you tonight? Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's drink. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's some other sin. Do you hate that sin tonight? Jesus Christ can set you free. Are you free from your sin tonight? Turn over to one verse of Scripture, and it's Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 and the verse 18. Romans 6 and the verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And verse 22. "But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." The Bible tells us, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Let me ask you tonight, young people. Let me ask you, those of us a little older, are the fruits in your life the fruits of a Christian? The Bible says here that we have been made free from our sin. We have become servants to God. The fruits in our lives, the evidence in our life, is evidence unto holiness. And after we live a holy life, the Bible says then about life everlasting. You know, if we want to ever be in heaven, we ought to live a life that reflects the Christian life that we ought to have. Notice with me also the faith that encouraged her. This woman had great faith. Some people today have an idea that they're too bad to be saved. They're too big a sinner to be saved. They have committed so many wrong sins, so many bad sins. They have been so many places. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Mark, I got saved one time. And then I fell away. And I come back to the Lord. And now I have fallen away again. Surely the Lord wouldn't take me back this time. Of course He would. Of course He would. The Bible tells us that He's married to the backslider. This woman never thought. She never thought that the Lord would turn her away. She knew that there in her midst was the righteous Savior, the holy, sinless Lord Jesus Christ. And of course she was 100% right. She never thought that she was too bad. She never thought that she was too sinful. She never thought that it was an impossible thing for her to get saved. And that was the faith that she had. Those very thoughts were the thoughts that encouraged this woman. They spurred her on to come and to seek out the Lord. Tonight I trust and pray that if you're not saved, you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I have some references of Scripture that I would like you to look up and listen to. If you're not saved tonight, you listen to what the Lord has to say. The first of these is Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And the verse 12. Now, if you're serious tonight about getting saved, if you're serious tonight about your sin, you look at these verses, and it's not the preacher. It's God's Word. Remember that. It's not something that I have dreamt up. It's God's Word. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 12. But Jesus heard that. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. And I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Look at this. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who are the righteous? Those are the people that have no sin. Those are the people that don't sin. Those are the people that have been washed in the blood. Those are the people whose sins are in God's sea of forgetfulness. Those are the people who are ready for heaven. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners to repentance. Of course, tonight, that must be you. Turn over to Luke chapter 15 and the verse 2. Luke chapter 15 and the verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Luke chapter 19 and the verse 7. Luke 19 and the verse 7, this is about Zacchaeus. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Remember what I was saying a moment ago about the change in the life? There was a change in the life of Zacchaeus. As you look back over your life, has there ever been a change? Has old things ever passed away and all things become new? Has there ever been that repentance, that remorse, that sorrow, that weeping over your sin? There was for Zacchaeus, there was a change in the life of that man. Luke chapter 7 and the verse 34, that's the portion that we are in tonight. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Listen tonight, friend, these verses are all for you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, these verses are all for you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you and set you free. God's grace was offered to this woman. in Luke chapter 7 and the verse 37. Look at what it says. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Look at this. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she had a knowledge that Jesus was in the house. Maybe you're too busy carrying on tonight to know that Jesus is in the house. Maybe you're too busy thinking about what you're going to do after church is over to know that Jesus is in the house. Listen, this woman, the great sinner, she knew that Jesus was in the house. She acknowledged that he was there. She knew that he was nearby. She knew that he could help her. Listen, Jesus is here tonight and he wants to help you. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to set you free. Verse 37 tells us, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She brought that box. What did she do? She brought a token of her love. She come before the Lord, and with the token of love that she could give to him, that was what it was. It was the box of alabaster ointment. Whenever you think of love, think of the love that drew salvation's plan. You know, a young person tonight, an older person too, Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus suffered and bled and died. Those nails that pierced his hands, those nails that pierced his feet, those crown of thorns that was placed and pressed down into his brow, do you not realize how serious a thing it is to mock and to joke and to laugh about Jesus Christ dying on the cross? I'll tell you something, it might be funny now, but it'll not be so funny when you stand before God, the great judge of all the earth, and he asks you, what did you do with Jesus Christ? It's an easy thing to laugh and smile at a preacher. It's an easy thing to laugh and joke at your mum or dad. It's an easy thing to act a wag now, but I'll tell you something, you'll not carry on when we stand before God. It's a serious thing to come and to stand before a holy God, the great judge of all the earth, the almighty God of heaven. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Verse 38, it tells us there that she came before the Lord and she wept. She wept. We clearly see her sorrow. We clearly see the repentance that this woman had as she comes before the Lord. What a lot of sorrow. With all genuine conversions, there must be genuine repentance. She had a genuine sorrow. She had a genuine regret for her sin. Verse 38, it tells us there that she kissed his feet. To wash his feet and to do all that she must have done. Here was a woman with humility. This was just like a poor sinner coming and seeking out the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not humble yourself tonight and come to Christ? Are you ready for heaven tonight? Are you saved? What would it mean to you tonight if this was to be your last night on earth? If God was to say to you tonight, that's it. Your time is up. Your time is up. I was speaking to a man a little while ago who's an ambulance driver. And a lot of his calls are young people. A lot of his calls are young people. Young people who lose their lives through various circumstances in life. And as he goes to those calls, as he sees those people, when he arrives there, they're young people. They're not old people. They're not old people who have had a good, full, long life. They're not able to stand back and say, well, they had a good, full life. They had long years on the earth, of course. Hey, old people must die. Listen, young people die as well. Young people die as well. I was hearing a story of a man, only 42 years of age, diagnosed with the most terrible of disease. There's no cure for him. Time will just tick slowly by until that man goes out into God's eternity. 42 years of age. No, friend, tonight you need to be saved. You need to be ready. You need to be ready to meet God. Notice with me also the love that encompassed this woman. The same loving Lord that received this woman, he pardoned her sins, he forgave her. He can do the very same thing for you tonight. He can take away your sin. He can set you free. But you must come with humility. You must come with repentance. You must come and earnestly seek the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The love that Christ has for the sinner It's far-reaching. It's everlasting. It's a deep, deep love. The Lord Jesus approved this woman's coming. I want you to notice that. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 44, he turns to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." The Lord Jesus Christ approved this woman coming to him. The Lord approved her. How sweet these words were for her, as she was there and all of those critics, all of those people there looking at her, pointing the finger and saying, "Look at that woman. Look at the sinfulness of that woman. Look at the lifestyle of that woman. Why would she ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ?" But yet the Bible says the Lord didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And maybe you're here tonight and you say to yourself, "Why would I come to the Lord Jesus Christ?" Because the Lord came to save sinners. And tonight you're a sinner. Tonight you need the Savior, even with all of your sin, even with all of your past, even with all of the rejections that you have leveled at the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight he can still save you. Tonight he can set you free. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord forgave this woman. It tells us clearly in verse 47 and verse 48, "Her sins which are many," verse 48, "thy sins are forgiven." Maybe tonight your sins are many. You seek the Lord tonight and he will be able to say, "Thy sins are forgiven." Will you not seek the Lord tonight? Will you not come to the feet of Jesus? Will you not come to the feet of Christ tonight and weep and confess and repent of your sin and be ready for heaven? Will you not come tonight and receive the invitation? Come tonight and receive the pardon and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and be ready. Be ready. Be ready to meet God. Prepare to meet your God is what we're told in Amos chapter 4 and the verse 12. Verse 48 gives us a clear picture of the assurance that was offered to this woman. "The Lord said himself, thy sins are forgiven thee." Could she ever have had any doubt that her sins were really forgiven? No, because the very words themselves came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I meet Christians and they say to me, "I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I have ever had my sins washed away." Sometimes the doubts come in. Sometimes the devil comes in and tells me that I'm not saved. Listen, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." All through Scripture there are encouragements, there are assurances, there's promises that our sins are washed away. "Thy sins are forgiven." Maybe you say your sins are too big, too bad, too many. Listen, come to Jesus tonight. He'll wash away your sin. Verse 50 gives us the commission. We see it here. "The Lord said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Go and tell this thing. Go and tell what has happened to you tonight. Go and tell others. Now she was to bear testimony of God's saving and changing grace. Go and tell others about what Jesus has done for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let me ask you tonight, have you ever had this experience? Are you saved tonight? That's a simple question. You know, people say to me, that's a personal question. And so it is. And I'll go to the doorstep and I'll ask them, I'll say, "Are you saved?" "Well, now, that's a personal question." Do you see, if I was some nosy insurance man ringing them up and saying, "Well, hello, I'd like to offer you car insurance. What's your date of birth?" They'll tell me like that. "What's your address?" They'll tell me. They'll tell me all the personal information and questions that I ask down the telephone. Somebody that they can't even see. Somebody that they don't even know. "What's your mother's maiden name?" They'll almost give you their bank account. And you ask them one simple question. Are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? Well, that's a personal question. I just can't answer that just right now. Do you know why? Because they're not saved. That's why. Let me ask you tonight, are you saved?
If you're saved tonight, you'll be able to say, Amen, praise the Lord, I'm saved. When were you saved?
This wee man I was visiting just this week in hospital. I visited him for a little while since I took on the work. And the brother, Albert McCauley, he visited him as well. And he's one of these little men that you assume that he's saved and could take offence if you ask in the wrong manner, are you saved? I went to visit him there on Friday, and he was a little confused. And I was talking to him about different things, and he said about the wife. The wife never visits me. His wife passed away 10 years ago. And whenever he started to talk along different lines, I knew that the little man was getting confused. And I thought to myself, Mark, it's time you asked this man about his soul. And I asked him one or two other questions that I knew the answer to, and he got it right. So I thought he's on the right line. And I says, tell me, and I called him by his name. I says, listen, I says, are you saved long? And as quick as that, he said, I got saved just after my wife died. And in a sentence or two before, he was saying that the wife never visited him. But just as quick as anything, he says, I got saved after the wife died. No, friend, tonight, the reason you don't give an answer to that question, are you saved, is because you're not. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, you maybe have big ideas. You maybe have some crazy notions. You maybe have lots of things that you want to do. And in all of the plans that you have made, Jesus Christ isn't in them. And as you look back over your life, you said to me tonight, you know, Mark, I have lived my life thus far without Christ. Many people live their life without Christ. You maybe said to me tonight, Mark, I'll die without Christ. And many people, they do die without Christ. But one thing I'll tell you is this, that nobody gets to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, not one, cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, tonight, with all the love in my heart, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. In the book of Luke, there was a woman there who was a great sinner. We don't know how great a sinner she was. She mightn't even have been as great a sinner as we are tonight. But yet Jesus forgave her for her sins, and he can do the very same thing for you tonight, if you'll only come. Come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I trust tonight that if you're not saved, that you'll come tonight. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, the Reverend Morrow told a story on Friday night of a mission that he did a number of years ago. This story hasn't left my mind since he told me. It was a 6-week gospel mission. Over those 6 weeks of gospel mission, there was about 14 souls that came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That mission was in a little orange hall. And every single week he invited this young man to come to the mission. There was a little woman there, and it was her son that he was inviting. He was 27 years of age. And he was invited every single week to come to the mission. And while he was preaching the gospel message, the young boy was flying around the field in the tractor. And he said that many a night you couldn't have heard yourself preach for the noise of the tractor. Gospel mission came and went. Those 6 weeks of opportunity, they were there, and then they were gone. He was too busy to come in. He had no interest in coming in. Just a little while after that gospel mission, he died. Massive heart attack. Died out into God's great eternity. You know, friend, tonight the Bible says now. The Bible says today. Will you not come? Let's close our meeting tonight in a word of prayer.